Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Matthew 19, I'm going to start on verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Amen. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man says unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus says unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. We pray, Father, that you would speak to each one here this morning. Lord, that you would open up our ears to understand and our eyes to see. I pray, my Father, that if there's anyone lost here this morning, that you would wake them up. Lord, that they would repent, that they would turn and get saved. They would turn to Thee. We pray, my Lord, that above all, that You would receive all the honor and glory, amen, as only Thou art worthy. Thank you, Lord, amen, Jesus. Amen. You know, I was just thinking about how many tragedies there are in this life. All you have to do is turn on the television or read the newspapers, and that's all you see is tragedy after tragedy. Mm-hmm. We hear it all the time. We hear about the news from the war. We hear tragedies, and even among ourselves, we hear of tragedies all the time. But you know, when you start reading the Bible, you also see many tragic stories. Mm-hmm. Over and over from the beginning of time, we see the tragic story that occurred at the garden. Mm-hmm. We see the tragic story of Cain and Abel. We see the flood. We see the further on down what happened to Achan and his family, to so many, Ananias and Sapphira. There's so many tragic stories. And they're not here just so that we can see, oh, how bad that was. They're here for our own warning and admonition.
That's right.
So that we know how to turn away and not to follow the same steps. So that we can know what actions to take and what to follow. Many times we learn by just listening to what the Bible has to say. But you know, if you would just put all the tragedies, all the stories in the Bible, I doubt it if anybody would even put this story as one of the tragic stories in the Bible. They would list so many. This one probably wouldn't even be voted as one of them. But I want you to know that this is probably one of the most tragic stories that you'll ever read. God wanted to make sure that you would get it. He put it in the Scriptures three times. Mm-hmm. So that if you'd miss it with Matthew, you'd catch it with Mark. And if you miss it with Mark, you'd catch it with Luke.
Yeah.
God wants to make sure that you don't miss this story. And the reason it is so sad is because it happens on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
This is a story that we don't get to see. We don't get to see how many righteous people, how many good people in this life that have come so close to getting saved and yet wind up in hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this story is all about. It's not just a story, beloved, of a rich man going home very sad. It's not a story of somebody being caught.
Mm.
He was wrong. This is a story that God wants you to see. He wants you to put yourself in the shoes of this individual, so that you can see for yourself if maybe there is also some shortcomings in your life. He wants you to see another thing. He wants you to see that God requires a decision. You can go through life and never decide. You can ride the fence and just decide, well, I'll just go to church. I'll just give my money here and there. I don't really have to make a decision. But you're going to wind up in hell. God requires a decision. He calls you and calls you. But finally, when it's all said and done, if you didn't get saved, you wind up dying. You wind up in hell. And this is what's so sad. Because God requires a decision. I want you to notice something else about this story. And I'm going to be touching on all these points. But this story also teaches you that God will call you. But then when you turn away from God and you go your own little separate way, God's not going to chase you and go grab on you to your church tail and tell you, come on, let's reason together. Now, in the Bible, it does tell you, come, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow.
That's right.
But I want you to know that He had already reasoned with this young man, just like He has reasoned with you. And this guy decided to turn and go the opposite way. You might say that this man even came and knocked at heaven's door. He was just one step away from coming in. And he wind up going away. Now, we don't know if he got saved later. God doesn't tell us. Nevertheless, it seems to me like he probably didn't. He turned away. He had so much riches. He didn't want to give up. He came to the Lord. Of course, he thought that he could convince the Lord that he was okay. He was good. He kept the commandments. And somehow the Lord would allow him to come in. But you see, this story is not about what you do. That's what this man's all about. What can I do? And salvation is not what you can do. It's what Jesus has done.
Amen.
But first of all, I want to touch on some of the good points that this man had, because he had many. I want to touch just on a few. And then I'm going to touch on the faults that he had, which most people, it applies to most people in this world. That's why I chose this story. But first of all, I want to tell you that it appears three times in the Scriptures. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And everything that Matthew tells you doesn't necessarily, you'll find it with Mark or with Luke. Some tell you one thing, the other one doesn't. That doesn't mean that that is still not true. All it means is that when you read them all together, you'll get the complete picture. And one of the things that I see that Matthew didn't put, I'm going to comment on it. You'll find it in the book of Luke. But I want you to know that Luke does say that when this man approached Jesus, he came running and he kneeled down. And the first thing I want to comment about this man is that he came running. You know, he realized there's an urgency about salvation. He came running. Most people don't run to God. They run away from God. But this guy was young, educated. He was a ruler. He believed in the Scriptures. Obviously, he went to church, had a good mom and dad. He obeyed the commandments. When the Lord gave him the commandment, he says, I've kept them since my youth. The Lord did not rebuke him and call him a liar. There's many people that are very righteous and very good in this life, but that doesn't mean that they're Christians or they're going to heaven. And that's one thing that we learn very clearly from this story. Your goodness will not take you to heaven. But this man came running because he saw the urgency of salvation. How many people are really concerned about their souls? This guy is the only one that I know that came and asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You find it three times, so it appears several times, but it's the same guy. I don't remember anybody else. Now, I do remember that the Philippian jailer did ask that, but that's in the book of Acts. I remember the Cornelius also sent for Peter to come in and preach him some words that him and his whole house would be saved. But that's after the angel told him, go and get Simon, alias Peter, and he will tell you some words.
That's right.
It wasn't that Cornelius thought about it. Most people don't think about those things. This man is extremely intelligent. He knows exactly what's important. Most people don't realize it, but this guy realized, even though he was young, he realized that life is short. You never know when you're going to die. He realized from reading the scriptures that this life is like a flower. It appears in the daytime and it's gone by the evening. He understood also that it's like a vapor. It shows up and then it disappears. I was talking to Randy and another friend of ours. I won't mention his name. Thursday night, and the other young man, he called me an old man. And it don't bother me. I'm 61 years old. He called me an old man, and he's younger than me, and he was laughing. And then come Saturday, he called me. He says, I'm on my way to the emergency room. I'm having chest pains. You see, the thing is, it doesn't really matter how old or how young you are. You can die at any time.
That's right.
Even though you might boast because of your youth,
yeah,
and because of you're athletic and you're in shape and you do all kinds of things, you can also have your arteries clogged. Because that depends on what you eat. Now, the thing is that this man understood these things. He knew that at the cemetery, there were some very short graves of small people, young kids. People die of all ages. He understood these things. But you know, the thing, what is so amazing is that he came running. When most people, they don't run to God. They run away from God. Now, most people do run, but they're usually running to drugs, or they run to check up with somebody because they're now old enough and they have a little job. They rent a little apartment. Right away, they want to bring some girl and they check up, and they run to those things. They run to liquor. Go out Friday night or Saturday night and see how people are traveling. They're traveling like crazy because they're on the way to a party. They're on the way to drinking. They're on the way to having a good time and getting blessed. That's why they're in a hurry. Not because they're running to church. They're not running to things that are good. Nevertheless, this guy was running to the Lord. We also see that he, just because he's young, he didn't just linger around. He realized that in the Old Testament, Lot had lingered. Somebody had to grab him by the hand to take him out. This guy's not hanging around. He's not like so many people that just wait and wait. They think that they'll just wait until they're ready to die and then they'll say, okay, Jesus, save me. Jesus tells you he can save you at any time. But it also tells you that if he's already called you and you reject it and reject it, then when your time comes, when your desolation comes, that which you fear, then God says, I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to mock you because you never wanted nothing of me.
That's right.
So you see, you can't be waiting around because many times people just die suddenly. You die because of a drive-by. Somebody crossed into your lane. Somebody, you just die of a heart attack. You don't have time. That happens over and over. This guy understood these things. He didn't hang around just like Felix, who was also a leader, a governor. Just like this guy was a leader. He was a ruler. But Felix had told Paul, he says, no, I'll talk to you when I have a more convenient time. There's no such thing as a more convenient time. Jesus says, now is the day of salvation. You don't have time to wait around that tomorrow or next week, I'll ask the Lord to save my soul. It wasn't like Agrippa, also a king, who told the apostle Paul, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian.
That's right.
This man ran. He knew what to ask. He had the right question. He went to the right person. And so many people will go the opposite direction. He had another good quality that I like to mention also. This guy was very courageous. So many people think that they're courageous because they stand in front of a track or in front of a train, or they do something real dumb and jump on a bull or whatever. But let me tell you, courage is what this guy had. This guy was a leader. He was a ruler. And yet he came and bowed down to Jesus. He didn't know he was God. He didn't call him Lord. He called them good master. Mm-hmm. In other words, like a good teacher. He knew that maybe he did come from God, just like Nicodemus, because of the miracles that he was doing. But nevertheless, he did not recognize that this is God Almighty. To him, he was just a very good teacher who was doing some miracles. And he thought maybe he has the answer. But what he did, beloved, he came in and kneeled down and people could see. How many Christians would even do that? How many in this world would even go out and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord in front of public? There's not too many gospel preachers. These guys are the ones who go out and they don't care about being mocked. This guy had that kind of courage. Oh, he would have made a tremendous Christian. This guy bowed down, and this is a man of power, a man that was a ruler, and he's bowing down to somebody who is just an unemployed carpenter as far as he's concerned. But yet, he's bowing down, and even though he thinks that this is the ruler bowing down to nobody, it's really the other way around. This was nobody bowing down to the ruler of the universe.
That's right.
This was a nobody bowing down to the King of Kings, but he didn't know that. Nevertheless, this man was tough enough, he was brave enough, he was courageous enough, and he puts a lot of Christians to shame.
Mm.
How many Christians are even afraid to even raise holy hands
the
way the Bible tells you to do?
Yeah.
When you're worshiping the Lord, many times at nighttime where we raise holy hands, so many don't. I know. I've been there. You're embarrassed.
Yeah.
This guy's not embarrassed to even kneel down in front of the whole world to see him.
Yeah.
He puts Christians to shame. Some Christians are even afraid and ashamed to even say, praise the Lord, unless they say it very low. They don't want nobody to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, put them out there with the Spurs, and they act crazy just like anybody else.
Right.
Go, Spurs, go. They'll paint their hair all kinds of colors.
Yeah.
They'll paint their bodies and take off their shirts and do all kinds of crazy things. But they're ashamed to mention the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
They want to do it real low, real, you know, nobody to hear them. Not this guy. This guy puts many people to shame. But you know, there's something also about this young man. He had concern for spiritual things. You know what I see? Everybody in this world is very religious. Even the atheists, those who say that they don't believe in God, they're still religious. They have their own belief. Whatever it is, they are religious. And in every religion, in every culture, there's many people that are very zealous. The Jewish people were very zealous. The Apostle Paul says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
That's right.
There's many people that will kill themselves for their religion.
Mm-hmm.
They want to kill you for your religion.
That's right.
There's many, and it doesn't matter what country you go. You can go to Mexico, and they're also very zealous in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They're very zealous here in America. They're zealous all over the world. But I want you to know that this man, he was zealous. Yet, how many people are really concerned for their souls?
Mm-hmm.
This guy was concerned for his soul.
That's right.
I want you to know that this guy, when he came to Jesus, he was asking, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to inherit? What good thing do I have to do?
Mm-hmm.
You see, most people are not asking those things. Nobody else I see asking those things. In this life, I don't see many people asking that.
Right.
I have a Bible study at my house. I teach on Tuesday nights. They invite people to come over, and I'm hoping to get people that are lost that don't know the scriptures. I've got, I had five people. That was their second visit. Mm-hmm. All of them were lost. They didn't know the Lord. And I'm teaching, and just like I had taught them the week before, I'm teaching them whatever topic it is, and I continually give the gospel.
Amen.
I continually give my own testimony how I got saved. I continually try to teach salvation, regardless of whatever I'm teaching. And Tuesday I finished teaching for after 1 hour, and then they had questions. And I opened it up. You ask me anything you want to. I'm going to answer from the Bible.
Amen.
And they had good questions. And I complimented them. I said, that was a good question. Now let me answer. But when it was all said and done, not a single one asked me, what must I do to be saved? And it bothers me. But I'll deal with them maybe this next week. But you know, that's the way it is. My wife called me yesterday. She was getting groceries from HEB. And she called me and said, honey, guess what happened? The young man that took my groceries and was putting them in the truck, all of a sudden, he says, ma'am, do you go to a church? And she says, well, I sure do. He says, which one? So she began to tell him. And he said, because I'm looking, because I want to get confirmed. And my wife, of course, wind up witnessing to him. And all religions, they all have confirmations. I know in his religion, they had confirmation. The Jewish people also have confirmation. When you become 13 years old, they put a little beanie cap in your head because you've already confirmed. And you said, okay, I'm going to follow the traditions of the Jewish religion.
That's right.
And everybody has their own confirmation. All it is somebody getting you hooked. So you don't go nowhere. Don't look that way. You're one of us. And this guy, instead of saying, I want to get saved, he's asking, I want to get confirmed.
Yeah.
The only confirmation that you should be looking for is whether you're a sinner and God has confirmed that you are.
That's right.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
There's no ifs and but. There is no one good. And right here, Jesus is telling this man, there is no one good but one, and that is God.
Right.
That's the only confirmation you need to get saved. You need to realize you're a lost sinner. You're on the way to hell. If you don't think you're lost, then obviously you're not going to be asking the Lord to save you.
That's right.
That's why Jesus says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's, I can't think of the verse on the physician. He didn't come to heal the... righteous, but sinners to repentance, something like that. But anyway, when you're sick, that's when you look for a physician. The only one that can heal you, beloved, is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you know, the thing is that this young man had many good assets.
Mm-hmm.
He would put many people to shame. When it comes to goodness, when it comes to obeying the law, this man had it all. Jesus did not rebuke him when he gave him the law.
Mm-hmm.
This man said, I have kept them since my youth, and I've always done it. Jesus didn't tell him, well, you're lying, or you haven't done it, or you missed it over there at the other place. He didn't say those things. But I want you to know also that this man also had some fatal flaws.
Mm.
He had some fatal faults. And these are the same faults that so many people have. First of all, he comes to Jesus and he calls him Master. He should have called him Lord.
Right.
He didn't understand. Like most people, many religions in this world don't accept Jesus as God. Now they'll tell you, I'll accept him as the Son of God. But when you ask him, is he God? They'll say, no, he's not. I don't need to mention to you the religion. There's many. Some will say, well, he is God, but he has a mother, and she's higher than him. She's the one that opens the back door so that you can come in the back door. There is no such thing. God says, I know no one else. I'm the only one. He tells you that very plain. But many will say that he's not God at all. And Jesus is very plain in the scriptures. when he came, he was God Almighty in the flesh. And he said it very plainly, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. This man needed to understand that. He didn't know that. That's why he called him master. But Jesus says in 8:24, John of 8:24, if you don't believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins.
Right.
Who is he? He's talking about the God of the Old Testament from Exodus chapter 3. When Moses had asked him, what name shall I give when they ask me for your name? God says, tell them, I am that I am.
Amen.
And now Jesus is saying here, if they don't believe, I am he. He's the God of the Old Testament, beloved. Very important. So important that throughout the Scriptures we find Peter even saying that there is salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
It was only the name of Jesus.
Right.
When he was preaching to the family of Cornelius in the book of Acts chapter 10, he says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins.
Right.
It is only through the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When the Lord was talking to that lady in John chapter 4 of Samaria, and the Lord was telling her about that living water, meaning the Spirit of God, this lady wanted that water so she wouldn't thirst no more. And Jesus told her something very important. He says, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is speaking to you, you would have asked me, and I would have given it to you. You see, it wasn't just so much knowing the gift of God, but she needed to also know who was talking to her. You need to realize that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
That's what this man did not understand. He also stumbled at another stumbling stone. Another major flaw. He came thinking that it was, what can he do? The Apostle Paul makes it very clear in the Scriptures. He says that the Jewish people stumbled at this stumbling stone because they tried to get righteousness, not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. And that was a stumbling stone, and that's exactly what this guy has stumbled on. He was thinking that maybe, somehow, it would be something as to what he could do to inherit eternal life. But you don't get eternal life by working your way to heaven. No one does. You can never be as righteous as this man. This guy, God told him the law, and this guy had kept everything, including something that only Matthew mentions. This guy loved his neighbor as himself. The other two do not mention this. But I just want you to know that that's very hard to do. Nobody loves their neighbor as themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Randy and me and Brian, we all live out in the country. We all have 10 acres. We live next to each other. And our grass grows real big. Sometimes we don't have time. We're too busy. But I saw Randy the other day, which I think is an extremely good individual. I'll compare him with anybody. I think he's one of the greatest men I've ever known. But when he's cutting his yard, he don't cut mine. You see, he's only thinking of himself. And the same way with me, when I cut my grass, I don't cut his either. You see, but this guy, he thought of other people. The Bible says that when the Lord told him, love your neighbor as yourself, I've done it, Lord. So besides the fact that he was rich, besides the fact that he was a ruler, besides the fact that he was a good man, he loved everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He was not ashamed to bow down to the Lord of glory. But you know, so many people make this fatal mistake. They think that by their goodness, they will somehow get to heaven. The other day, the newspaper came out with an article on Mother Teresa of Calcutta. You might have read it. I read part of it and then I got busy. But yesterday, when I was taking a break from my studies, I turned on the TV just to relax a little bit, and I passed by the Catholic channel. And there was a priest that was talking. They're trying to make her a saint. They're trying to canonize her. So they were talking about something that had come out in the newspaper, that this lady had experienced a darkness. And the priest explained this very clearly. He says it was a darkness that she could not speak about. So they had told her, since you cannot speak about this darkness that's around you, why don't you just write about it? So she wrote, and now they have the letters. This is her testimony. And her testimony is that she had a darkness that followed her. She could not get rid of this darkness. She felt a sense of loss and unwanted. And it was so sad, because if anybody did good works, it was that lady. This lady would put anybody to shame. She was a truly good lady. But she went to the wrong sources. She had darkness. Why didn't she come to the Lord of glory? The Bible tells me that men love darkness because their deeds were evil. And it also tells me that Jesus is light. There is no darkness in Him. But this lady, all she experienced was darkness. And she had no sense, to the point that she says, does God really exist? This is sad to me. I don't know where she's at. Only the Lord knows. But her story, her letters that she wrote, she says it was dryness and longing in this darkness. And then she left the last thing. She wrote a letter to the other nuns. And she says, you know, sisters, by your suffering and by my suffering, we are redeemed. Wrong. Totally wrong. That's the fault that this man had. He thought, okay, what can I do to inherit eternal life? It's not about what you can do, my friend. It's what Jesus has already done. You have to put your faith and trust in Him, not in the things that you do. But you know, Jesus told this man, you lack one thing. And you know, that's all people lack. Just one thing. And it's just a chain that this man practically has gone to heaven and knocked at heaven's door. What must I do to come in? And God had already told him, the only chance you have is while you're on earth. Once you die, don't even think that you're going to be knocking at heaven's door and asking to come in. It'll be too late. But mainly the picture I want to paint to you is that he was talking to the Lord of glory. And the Lord told him very plainly, you need only one more step. That's all you need.
That's right.
It's just like Colonel Travis at the Alamo. Right before they were going to be overrun, he knew that there was no more escape. And he told his band of brave men, he said, he drew that line on the sand. He says, those who want to stay, just step over.
Right.
Cross the line. Everyone who crossed the line, and I think they all did, they all died. Including in that bunch was one of my wife's great-grandfathers. He crossed that line. He also died. But I want you to know that they died. They lost their lives for what they believed. And now their names are written in marble. But I want you to know that if you will just cross this line that God is telling you,
that's right,
if you will just take one more little step and do what God is telling you to do, your name is not going to go in marble, beloved. It's going to go in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
You will reign with Him forever.
Amen.
And that's all that the Lord is telling you.
Praise
He
Lord.
Says you lack one thing. Now this one thing that God is telling this man, I just want you to know that it's packaged in two parts. The first part, and this is why many people don't want to read the Bible.
Yeah.
They don't want to come to church because God's going to speak to you very plain.
Yeah.
Just like this guy comes over here, he's got all kinds of baggage. He's got all kinds of credentials.
Yeah.
And he thinks that he can somehow snowball the Lord, and he's not going to know what's coming or what's going.
Yeah.
But Jesus real quickly will go right to the heart. He goes to the matter. He knows what's causing the problem. And he says, get rid of all your gold. Get rid of all your money. That was his God. One thing thou lackest. Now, I don't know what you're lacking tonight or this morning. I don't know what's keeping you from coming to Jesus, but there's no doubt in my mind it's only one thing.
Yeah,
you need to get rid of it.
That's right.
It might be drugs. It might be pornography. It might be sex. It might be liquor. It might be just plain rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it's not worth it.
That's right.
You'll wind up in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You'll wind up with that sense of darkness.
Mm.
You'll wind up in that hole where you will burn forever.
That's right.
You're not going there just to sit around for billions and billions of years, for eternity. You're going to be punished for this. But Jesus is telling this man, you lack one thing. And the first thing he does, you need to get rid of that cancer.
That's right.
His problem was his gold.
Mm-hmm.
His problem was all the possessions that he had. And so many people are banking on that. They're banking on one thing or another.
That's right.
And the next one, beloved, God made it very plain. He told this man, come and follow me. He didn't tell him, follow God. He said, follow me, because he's telling him, I'm God.
That's
what Jesus is telling him. Not only is he identifying himself as God right here, but he's also telling him, you have to make a decision. You have to forsake these things that are sending you to hell and then follow me. Now he says, get the cross and follow me. Now you might think, well, I don't feel like carrying the cross. It's just too heavy. I don't want to go through all this. I want to tell you that that cross will turn to a crown one day. Following the Lord will turn to salvation. All you have to do is give up whatever is hindering you. I know it's only one little thing. I don't know what it is. We all have different things that hold us back. Sometimes you just want to go out and do whatever you want to. You're young. You don't want nobody telling you anything. You want to spread your wild oats. This guy was young. He was smart. He understood these things. There's no time to be wasted. He didn't come walking to Jesus. He came running. That's how important salvation is.
Amen.
And I just want you to know that if you would just give up whatever is hindering you, whatever it is, if it's drugs, give it up.
Right.
If it's liquor, just say no.
Right.
If it's sex, wait till you get married.
Amen.
You don't have to burn.
Right.
There's many women out there, just get somebody and marry her. But you know, the thing is that it's very simple. Even though, you know, some people will find problems for every little thing.
Yeah.
Just give it up.
Amen.
I know it hurts.
Yeah.
But the Lord is not really saying, okay, now you need to get rid of everything and give it to the poor.
Mm.
What he's telling you, this is the problem that this guy had. There's nothing wrong with having money.
Right.
It's when money has you.
That's right.
That's the problem. When he controls you, that is now your God.
That's right.
And he can be your horses. He can be your ranch. He can be your lawn. He can be your kitchen. It don't matter what it is. It might be your job.
That's right.
All you devote is time just for that.
Mm-hmm.
Give it up. Come to church. Do the things of God. Read the Bible. But most of all, repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus.
Amen.
He died for you.
Amen.
He paid for all your sins. That's the only thing that's holding you back. Don't go to hell for gold or for anything in this life. It's not worth it.
Right.
Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and you lose your soul? It's not worth it. You will regret it for all eternity. It's not going to be just for some time. It's not going to be just for a million years. No, there's not going to be no parole and no probation. You're going to stay there. And even if you behave in hell, there's no such thing as out for good behavior. That's only here in this world. When you go in, there's no coming out. It's just like the Roche Hotel. They check in, but they don't check out. Let me tell you, all you need to do is repent of your sins.
Amen.
And put your faith and trust in Jesus.
Yes.
Why don't you do it this morning?
Amen.
Don't go out these doors if you're not saved.
Amen.
Ask the Lord to save your soul.
Amen.
Now, whatever is bothering you, only you know and the Lord knows. Why don't you settle that business this morning?
Amen.
Let's stand up. We're going to sing 249.
Amen.
The altar is open.